This week on Straight Talk Africa, the competition for natural resources is escalating on the global scene, fueled by China and India. Africa holds 30% of the world's mineral reserves, and many nations want access to it. The South Korea-Africa Summit gathered leaders and representatives from 48 African countries in an effort to boost business and trade cooperation. Will this benefit African workers and not just big corporations? Will Africa be able to safeguard its people and environment while creating more jobs? Straight Talk Africa starts right now. Welcome to Straight Talk Africa, coming to you from VOA headquarters here in Washington. I'm Vincent McCorry. South Korea's President Yoon Suk-yeol hosted the first ever summit with leaders and representatives of 48 African countries on June 4th as his country seeks to tap into the continent's vast mineral resources. David Doyle reports.
South Korea's President Yoon Suk-yeol and African leaders launched a critical minerals dialogue aimed at sustainable development of the continent's resources.
Take your seats.
At a first-ever summit with the leaders and representatives of 48 African countries, they also agreed to forge deeper trade and business cooperation. That's as South Korea seeks to tap into Africa's rich mineral resources and potential as a vast export market.
We will seek sustainable ways to work together on issues directly related to future growth, such as stable supplies of key minerals and digital transformation.
Africa holds 30% of the world's reserves of critical minerals that are essential to the global energy transition, including chrome, cobalt, and manganese. Yoon's office said partnering with the continent is crucial. South Korea is one of the world's largest energy buyers. It's also home to leading semiconductor producers and the world's fifth largest automaker, Hyundai Motor Group, which is making a push for electrification. Yoon said South Korea would increase development aid for Africa to $10 billion over the next 6 years. He also pledged to offer $14 billion in export financing to promote trade and investment for South Korean companies in the continent.
Well, David Doyle of Reuters filed that report. Now, you might wonder which continent produces the most minerals in the world. According to the World Mining Congress, Asia accounts for 59% of the world's total mineral production. North America is second with 16%, followed by Europe at 7%. Africa is last, producing about 5.5% of the world's minerals worth some $406 billion. So why is Africa so important to South Korea?
The Critical Minerals Dialogue, launched by South Korea and Africa, will set an example for a stable supply chain through mutually beneficial cooperation and contribute to sustainable development of mineral resources around the world.
South Korea's industry ministry announced that nearly 50 deals and agreements were signed during the summit. Those agreements included cooperation on critical minerals with Madagascar and Tanzania and a contract to supply electric transformers to Mozambique. For more insight into the outcome of the South Korea-Africa Summit, I'm joined from Geneva, Switzerland, by Rashid Amoui, Economic Affairs Officer with the United Nations Conference on Trade and Development, and from here in Washington, Paul Ntulia, a specialist in Africa, China, and Southeast Asia at the Africa Center for Strategic Studies. Gentlemen, welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you for having me.
So if I may begin with Rashid, we did actually pose that question. Why is Africa so important to Korea at this time?
Well, Africa is home to, like, what was shown in the clip that you showed earlier on. It's home to about 30% of the world. And for critical minerals, they've got quite a host of these critical minerals that are relatively untapped. They've got cobalt, they've got manganese, graphite, and these are quite sizable amounts of mineral resources compared to what the other countries actually produce. So Africa has got huge potential to be able to supply the world market with these variety of minerals that are critical for manufacturing renewable energy technology like batteries and electric battery storage systems.
Yes, and this looks like a lot to do with what South Korea wants to achieve. Paul, how can Africa leverage this kind of interest that it's receiving from South Korea?
Well, Vincent, first of all, thank you very much for inviting me, and greetings to you and to the viewers. Look, I think African countries, first and foremost, need a coherent strategy for engaging external partners like Korea, Japan, China, which all have dedicated mechanisms for coordination and collaboration. I think Africa has been in it for a long time, but we still have not seen a cohesive Africa-focused and Africa-centric strategy for engaging external partners. So I think this is lacking, and we could see this in Seoul. The African countries did not really seem to have a strategy in place. That's number one. Number two, African countries need to become more serious, much more serious, in what is commonly known as value addition. The continent still largely exports raw materials to external markets, where those raw materials are refined, mm-hmm. and some of these products are then brought back into the African continent. This is an old story.
Yeah.
But I think there's more seriousness that is required. And the third element is coordination among African countries themselves. So I think these are the three things that are missing.
Yes. And you know, we've seen African presidents, African leaders travel to either Russia or come to the U.S. or go to Turkey or some other European country. And, of course, that has always been at the minds of people. Are we going with one agenda, or is each country going there pursuing a different objective? Rashid, in terms of real benefit to the people on the ground, it's not the first time African countries are striking deals with foreign entities, but many question, to what extent are they, for example, contributing to jobs? To Africans, real jobs, you know, especially in the backdrop of what has been seen with Chinese who would come in and bring their own fellows to come and work, and especially the jobs that pay best. So what can Africans do, especially to make sure Africans get jobs in this kind of deals, especially in the extractive mineral industry?
Yes, I think the points that the previous speaker made was very pertinent. It's not only about coming for the resources, but be able to transform the resources from the ores and concentrates to more value-added products. It works well for them in two ways. Firstly, it works well for them because they don't experience that volatility in prices, so they kind of have a stable income when they have a more value-added product. Okay, so with jobs, when the investment comes in, there are definitely some jobs that can be automatically created. These are direct jobs that are linked to the activities that comes with the investment. So maybe an investor comes to exploit cobalt. The investment alone, the digging and breaking up the ores, it will create jobs. But these are not necessarily the type of jobs that the African leaders should be looking at. These are jobs that automatically come with the investment. But you should be looking at more value-added jobs, jobs that are actually more skilled, jobs that can be more sustainable in the long run. So the direct jobs that are directly associated to the investment, there are also indirect jobs that could be associated through backward linkages, supply of goods and services to different activities in the upstream sector of the industry, and then in the downstream sector of the industry. The investors come with skills and technology. This is an opportunity for actually getting to good contracts with them to be able to get some of the skills, and that will translate into different long-term mm-hmm. sustainable jobs. there's infrastructure that is invested to be able to transport the ore from where they are to the port industries. This could lead to opening up other industries using the same kind of infrastructure. So there are different types of jobs that can be generated from just one simple investment. It depends on the policies that the government actually comes up with.
Yeah, indeed, that is critical. And we'll also try to find a way to talk about the extent to which these external entities are at least committing or being required to commit to the environmental protection. But, Paul, in line with what Rashid has just said, you know, the theme under which this summit happened is rather interesting to me. The future we make together, shared growth, sustainability, and solidarity, how can this actually be made into reality? How can it translate into reality on the ground in this partnership?
Well, as Rashid rightly pointed out, there's really a need for greater strategic agency on the part of African countries. There are so many things that African countries could have put on the table. They could have asked the Korean government, for instance, to contribute towards the World Bank International Development Association, which is really the World Bank's only mechanism for concessional finance. And that concessional finance window it needs to be replenished because it's been depleted. That's number one. Number two, I did not hear of any African country that made a request to the Korean government to support Africa's Ezulwini consensus to place African countries in the Security Council with permanent seats. Right? This has been a core position of African countries since independence, and I don't understand why African countries did not put that on the table. Thirdly, African countries are in need of a serious infusion of human resource development, vocational training, and so on, as economies recover from COVID. I did not see any coherent plan that was put on the table to really show that African countries shaped this recent summit in as much as it was shaped by the Korean side. Now, I must point out that African countries have looked at Korea, have looked at Japan and other Southeast Asian countries as places that offer inspiration in terms of assisting African countries to develop their economies. And that is a good thing. But the question is, in practice, a lot more needs to be done to actually digest and implement these initiatives.
And that makes me think of something here. You know, by all standards, you know, by all indicators, say between 1950 and 53 after the war in South Korea, it was a failed state. This is a continent, this is a country that had a GDP in the 60s that was actually below $100. And yet this country, after coming out of years of poor governance, dictatorship, and even corruption, it emerged and became one of the Asian tigers. How then, in line with the theme, could Africans learn from South Korea and then thrive together, as this theme says here? What are some of the lessons that the continent's countries could take from South Korea?
Well, Vincent, number one is human resource, human resource, human resource, human resource. That is the key element. Korea does not have resources. Korea is a country that is, it's both, by the way, both North and South Korea have problems over food production because they do not have a fertile, you know, productive soil. But Korea has invested heavily in the human resource. And I think this is one lesson that African countries can take. The other lesson is a stronger technical cooperation with Korea and with other countries for that matter, that clearly identify the added value, that can be monitored and evaluated on an ongoing basis. I think that's the second lesson. The third lesson is basically coordination and cohesion from the Africa side. Now, you know, Vincent, I can't understand for the life of me why in all these, in these Africa Plus summits, right, you have all these African presidents going to foreign capitals, right, negotiating for the same things, right? We can have a situation where, for instance, you have five African heads of state that handle China. You have another six African countries that handle Korea, another three that handle France, maybe five that handle, you know, through a division of labor diplomatic assessment, right? You know, which can bring basically the, you know, added value and basically reflect interests in each of these, because the regions are different and they have different needs. So I think really, Vincent, these really would be, if I was to advise African presidents or ministries of foreign affairs or ministries of trade and industry, these would be the 3 to 4 strategic pieces of advice that I would offer.
Well, we hope they're listening. It's time now for a short break. When we come back, we will continue our discussion on the South Korea-Africa summit, so stay with us.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
Health, wellness, sport, beauty, medical breakthroughs. Healthy Living cares about your well-being. What are the main health concerns in Africa and around the world? Find out the latest on coronavirus. Connect with our experts and ask them questions.
How long does the virus stay?
Join me, Lino Khmudu, in Washington, every week on Healthy Living, right here on VOA.
Do you feel stressed about work, school, or relationship? Well, dancing might be your best bet. It does not only relieve stress, but the physical, mental, and emotional health benefits of movements associated with dance are endless. On this week's edition of Our Voices, we will explore the incredible benefits of dance while discovering some dance techniques. Join the conversation each week right here on Our Voices.
We all stress the need to benefit from Korea's experience. Well known for developing 3 key sectors, human resources, industrialization, and digital transformation.
Well, this was the chairperson of the African Union, Mohamed Ould Ghazouani. We are talking about the recent South Korea-Africa summit held in Seoul. My guests are Rashid Amoy, Economic Affairs Officer with the United Nations Conference on Trade and Development, and Paul Antulia, a specialist in Africa, China, and Southeast Asia at the Africa Center for Strategic Studies. The digital transformation that the AU chairperson mentioned is a key concept, and at its forefront is mobile technology. It's interesting to see in this graphic how many minerals are used for the production of a single mobile phone. There are 16 different minerals needed to construct a smartphone, and these minerals are in constant demand by countries worldwide. Now, gentlemen, South Korea is presenting itself as a better partner for Africa compared to other countries. What makes South Korea a better partner? In your assessment, let's start with Rashid.
This is what you're saying, a better partner. I believe all the investors will come to the country to say that they are better partners. What makes it the better partner is the kind of deals that you derive from the investor that benefits you. So it's more about the kind of benefits that you get and not what the investor tells you that is a better partner. What the South Koreans have, like you rightly pointed out, is they have the technology. They have good technology, but the technology should not only be used in their backyard. The technology should be used for the benefit of the country where they're exploiting these natural resources. What I'm trying to say is, it's not good enough to just export ores and concentrates. It's better for the owners of the resources to be able to leverage off the technology that they have to be able to go forward. I'm not saying go all the way to manufacturing a mobile phone, but there are different stages that you can get to intermediate products that can get to them over phone. I think these stages should also be established in the host country so that they can actually get better benefits out of the investment in the resources.
Yes, and I just for once I want to stay with you on this before we go to Paul. The same question that I wanted us to expand on a little bit. I mean, here is a country, South Korea, that was really had a lower GDP than Haiti, Ethiopia, Yemen was a really poor country in the 60s. Can you blame these countries for wanting whatever they want when African countries could look at the template? You don't have to reinvent anything. Just look at how do you do it, and instead of just signing up things, say, we want to get to where you are. Therefore, we want to work better with you.
Yes, I totally agree with you, and I totally agree with what Paul said earlier on. It's all about building up your human resources to the level where they can actually deliver, building up the skills. But it depends also on how you're able to eke out these, when you're negotiating with these contracts with the investors, how you're going to get these options out of the investor. Okay, so take, for example, skills development. The skills are low in a lot of these developing countries, but this is an opportunity to establish that. We know the skills are low. We know we want to build up the skills. We know we want to become a much more, be much more better at what we are doing along these supply chains or the value chain for that particular matter. So let's build up our investor. Let's work with the investor. Let's try and get them to team up with us in even the research and development that is done locally so that we can also build up on our own technology to be able to develop these minerals locally or add value to these minerals locally. It's a long process. I think what most of the time they try to do is they try to leap the different stages that are involved in it. But the first stage is to develop your human resources to a certain level where you can actually get a benefit.
Yeah.
The investors coming to your country.
Yes. Now, Paul, you know, the continent is a continent of, I believe, also very intelligent people. We have all these 54 sort of countries, smart leaders, highly, you know, educated people, smart brains like those of yours. Why do we keep talking about what we have not been able to do, what we need to do? Why haven't we done it? I mean, it's a continent of millions of people, very smart people. Why don't we do it?
Well, Vincent, you know, we can spend a whole day talking about that. But I think, you know, the African continent has had many lost opportunities and lost decades, due to civil wars, due to maladministration, coups and all this, political instability. You know, the continent is still trying to find its way in terms of, politics, in terms of elections. I mean, you see the kind of elections that, that take place on the continent, for instance. So the continent has been beset by a number of problems. But nevertheless, there are quite a number of opportunities. And I think if those opportunities are leveraged well, then, there's a lot of mileage to be gained by working with the Koreas of this world. I mean, I've worked with Koreans for a very long time. They're very receptive to African concerns. The Koreans really see themselves as part of a development trajectory. You know, anytime you get into a discussion with the Koreans, they will always point to this issue that, they were behind African countries at independence, right? And therefore, they do have a lot that they're able to offer in a more systematic way. The other element that is significant is that Korea is willing to share technology. It is willing to educate and prepare doctors and engineers, from the African continent. But I think what is missing in that equation is the Africa side of things, the Africa push. What kind of if you look over the next 5, 10, 15 years, what kind of human resource basket does Africa need, do African countries need? And to what extent can Korea then come in and be able to assist African countries, not in everything, but maybe in one or two different areas. And then one can then talk to the Japan, one can talk to Indonesia, one can talk to Singapore. African countries have relationships with all these different countries. So there's that affinity, that African countries share with Korea. And the Koreans are also quite sensitive to the African side. For instance, they do not demand foreign policy compliance in exchange for Korean assistance, yeah. Right?
So,
think these are things that that Africans really need to think about carefully.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to Rashid. You know, the Asian Tigers, for example, kind of set certain goals and moved at a certain speed. And African countries have been independent for years. And yes, Paul says that some of them have been beset by, you know, coups and other issues. Is there any country in Africa you can point to, or a number of countries, and say this one has moved at a pace that is admirable and could be a good model for the rest of the continent too?
I think in the sub-Saharan African region, it would be quite difficult to easily point out one country that has actually moved. They're always beset with all kinds of problems. Either there's disruptions to the political system, there's it sets everyone back again, a new person comes in with the new policies. But in the South African region, they do have skills. There are skills there that can be tapped into. And some of these development in the value chain, you don't really have to rely on one country. You can tap into the skills of other countries. If you have the resources to minerals that are needed in the batteries or in the telephone, and the skills in other countries like in South Africa, pick up those skills, join it up with where the minerals are available, and add value to whatever you're doing. Add more value to it. These are possible areas of working together in the African continental free trade area. Also, it's actually opening up avenues for this kind of regional integration to take place.
Yes, Paul. Some have observed that perhaps the continent sets their goals too low, that sometimes we are very excited about very little progress. Do you see appetite for wanting to leap into the future, just like the Asian Tigers, rather than keep crawling forever?
Tremendous appetite within the private sector. Africa has some of the most creative private sector one has ever seen. You know, I mean, mobile money, which has now become a worldwide phenomenon, everybody uses mobile money, is a Kenyan invention. It's a Kenyan invention. And I can cite very many other examples of very creative initiatives that have come from the Kenyan private sector. So there's a lot of appetite within the African private sector. There's a lot of appetite within, the African professional groups. African professionals are doing really remarkable and incredible things, when it comes to law, when it comes to international law, international engagement, right? Africans are doing very well. I mean, right here in the United States, African immigrants in the United States are the highest earning segment of the American population, you know, according to the U.S. government's own statistics. Right. So it's not like there's no appetite. There's really tremendous appetite. But I think what is required is a strategic dialogue between governments, private sector and professionals. This has been missing for a very long time. Yeah. And I think that needs to happen because Africa does have the capacity to harness Korea, to harness Japan, to harness Indonesia, to harness Singapore, and to move forward. So I think there's a need for African governments to really recognize the role of the African private sector.
And I think that is that is the key there. We'll have to leave it right here. Thank you very much, both of you, for being on the show. Rashid Amoi, Economic Affairs Officer with the United Nations Conference on Trade and Development in Geneva, and Paul Nantulia, a specialist in Africa, China, and Southeast Asia at the Africa Center of Strategic Studies here in Washington. Thanks to our affiliate stations for broadcasting Straight Talk Africa across the continent. I'll see you next time.